We're now living in a modern day Babylon, an anti-Christian United States.
So how do you stick out and be different? And there's a great example in the Bible in Daniel of what that looks like. All right. So now that we're into the show, I'm excited because you butchered the open. Thank God we fixed it. Thank you, Wes, for editing. It wasn't your best work. It was Tony Dungy-esque, that Tony Dungy interview. But I digress, because this message is one of the best you've ever preached in your life.
I appreciate that.
Like, I would just
I was getting text messages from you and Lindsay before the service was even over.
On the same feed.
Yeah, on the same feed.
I feel like we
yeah.
always got to clarify that in guardrails.
Let's clarify that. So, yeah, I can't wait to dive in and talk about this. Of course, small groups is a big part
of
our church as well. And so one of the things, Jennifer and I, you know, we have the discipleship groups. And so the goal of discipleship is we disciple people and then train them to where they then disciple other people. And then we're coaching. And so Jennifer had something funny happen. A couple of the girls that she has been discipling over the last few years, they're now leading a discipleship group for the very first time. And they had something happen in their group the other night that they reached out to Jennifer about.
How to handle it.
Was it fantastic? I have never heard this ever in any small group situation in the, you know, my 35 years of ministry.
What happened?
So this lady is in the group. She's new to the church.
Okay.
She's got quite
we welcome everyone at our church, by the way.
Backstory.
We're not perfect. We don't expect you to be. That's our slogan. Everybody's welcome.
And maybe I'll tell their story at some point. But so she tells the ladies in the group, and I think they have, you know, seven or eight ladies around a circle. And she says, if you see me touching the top of my shirt, inside my shirt, I want you to know that I'm not playing with my girls.
Okay.
She said, I'm petting my pet. And she had a pet flying squirrel, what looked like a flying squirrel to me, up under her shirt. And the whole group, she was like petting the pet flying squirrel that she had inside her shirt.
I mean, there's a million ways to go right now in my small brain. But like, just think about being in that group. And like, we're talking about like, what has Jesus done in your life? And talk about this. And you got a girl just,
she said,
what are you doing?
She said, I'm not playing with my girls.
Oh my goodness. All righty. Well, that is new for small group.
Have you ever had that one?
I've never played with my girls. No, I've never done that. That's new and unique, but that's what makes this world fun.
So let's make a hard transition.
Severe right turn to one of your best sermons you've ever delivered in your life.
I appreciate that. So yeah, we kicked off a new series called Thriving in Babylon, and we are studying through the book of Daniel. And so we'll talk about that today. We covered Daniel chapter 1, and I set the whole message up just sharing about how much our culture has changed even since I've been born. You know, I was born, you know, I've lived 7 decades, Davey.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So I was born in 1969. So 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010, 2020s. So yeah, 7 decades. But a lot has changed. Back, say, 50 years ago, church was the center of the communities, and you'd have these downtown churches, and we'd go to church Sunday
Wednesdays.
Morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Like there were no activities. And I was talking with a lady the other night after small groups. She said she grew up north, and their Wednesday night was Thursday nights. Like, they had church on Thursday nights. So wherever you're listening to the podcast, but it used to be no activities on Wednesday night. Like, everything shut down because people went to church. And now you have games on Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. You have like middle school football games. You have high school baseball games. Like a lot
practices,
of our
everything.
Kids are missing student ministry on Wednesday nights because they don't have a choice because of their school.
We had eighth grade football on Wednesday nights. I mean, so we'd have to come afterwards in our jerseys, stinky and sweaty. So
and then Sunday mornings, you know, travel ball, people buying groceries, whatever. You know, Sundays. Did you say
people buying groceries?
Yeah, people go grocery shopping on Sunday mornings because that's when.
So you've gotten that excuse before for church?
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't come to church because I was buying groceries?
Yeah. Yeah, because that's when the stores are empty. Like, not as many people are there. It's a good time to go. I hope I'm not giving anybody some good ideas here.
I've never heard.
Jennifer does online shopping now. You can just order it online. They deliver it to your doorstep.
How do you feel about that?
I love it.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Why? Because you got food?
Well, she says she's saving us money because she's not buying as much stuff.
I think she's totally manipulating you. I think she's absolutely.
Well, I never even
knew.
You
have to pay for that to be delivered. You know that, right? Like, it doesn't just show up like with a magic fairy.
I never even knew that she didn't like grocery shopping.
Anyways, we're getting way off topic. I find it hard to believe that she's saving you money. By
so what was it about the message that you and Lindsay liked so much?
Let's talk about it. I think there's a lot of excuses about our world, and there's a lot of things that is going on that it's easy to say it's hard to live now and it's hard to be where we're at. But you were like, you want to hear some real stuff. Like, let's talk about Daniel and what he went through and what he chose to do and how he chose to be different. So I think we do live in a world that's we hear all the time. It's awful. It's terrible. It's this. But you got a guy in Daniel who's, with the Israelites and living his life with his people that he loves. And then all of a sudden, bam, he's plucked out. So imagine being in Georgia and you're just plucked out and you're dropped off in California, which would be the equivalent right now.
That's a great analogy.
Yes. Dropped off in California. And now your name is changed and you serve a different purpose. You serve a different God. You serve a different life. And you had absolutely no say in it.
Yeah.
Like,
and you're castrated.
Oof. Might be the worst part. And so now literally what does your response look like? What do I do? Do I pout? Do I die? And just his response to me is freaking cool.
Yeah. And I think there's so much we can learn from it because they respond in humility. They respond in grace. And he's able to live a godly life in an ungodly world, a way more ungodly world than we find ourselves living in. And so if Daniel and his buddies can do it, then certainly we can do it in the United States of America.
Yeah, so talk about what happened to Daniel. So and your first point was God is sovereign and in control, and nothing happens outside of God allowing it to happen.
Yeah, so just a little backstory on the book of Daniel. The Israelites had been unfaithful to God for decades. Mm-hmm. And all these prophets like Jeremiah are preaching, they're prophesying like, hey, if you don't repent, because the Israelites weren't being faithful to God, they weren't following the Ten Commandments, they weren't following the law, they're worshiping these other gods, they're doing things that they weren't supposed to be doing. And so the prophets kept warning them, like, if you don't repent of your sin, if you don't turn from your ways, you're going to suffer the consequences. And so Daniel chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 says, during the third year of King Jehoiakim's reign in Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And then listen to this. The Lord gave him victory over King Jehoiakim of Judah and permitted him to take some of the sacred objects from the temple of God. So it didn't happen outside of God's will. It happened because of God's
so will. So the hard things in your life that happen for a reason. Mm-hmm. The trials, the tribulations you face, the things that are absolutely horrible you hate, still happens for a reason. And so I thought that was powerful.
And God, we use Romans 8:28 faith that God can work all things to his purpose and our good. Even think about, like your neck injury. God used it for his purposes and ultimately for your good. That's hard to accept at the time.
Then, in the moment. It's kind of like forgiveness. When you're the one who has to give it, it's hard. But like in the moment, yeah. But if we switch our mindset, then and we can take Daniel's approach and how he handled himself, mm-hmm. like God will honor it. Because God honored Daniel through a tough time, a tough situation, something that could have killed a lot of people mm-hmm. and discouraged a lot of people. But because he was faithful, what happened? God rewarded him. Mm-hmm. And so he will do the same thing for us in all of our circumstances.
Yeah, and we're learning from Daniel today. Like, God is still using that story to we're here in 2024, and we're growing from it. We're learning from it. God is sovereign. God is in control. People are freaking out about the United States right now and the country that we're living in. But it's God's will and God's purpose for us to live. To quote Esther, is such a time as this. Like, this is when God has us living. We're here for a reason. We're here for a purpose. The other statement I made is that God is in control over who is in control. Mm. People are freaking out about the election, and we were talking earlier about the debate. Mm. And oh my goodness! But
not revisiting that.
But God is in control
of who is
over
in control.
Who is in control.
And Dr. James Merritt wrote a great book on politics. Phenomenal book.
Really?
Unbelievable. Biblical viewed base of how politics should look. And what our responses as Christians should be. And it was amazing. And it would go perfect with exactly what we're talking about, because how do we respond to that? How do we look like to that? Like, what are the principles as a believer that like lead you to voting and what's important to you? And I'd recommend that book for anybody. I'm actually going to look it up. You keep talking. I'll look up what.
Yeah. And one of the things I talked about was, we have a responsibility to vote. We have a responsibility to run for office. Have you ever thought about running for office?
Absolutely not.
I have thought about it recently.
Have you really?
Yeah. I mean, I used to never think about it, but now I'm like, man, somebody's got to do something. But we need to do our part, but ultimately we trust God to do his part. And I shared the verse, Romans 13:1 says, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God." Like, it's crystal clear that he's in control is in control.
He's got this.
It doesn't do us any good to worry about it.
And panic, which, but again, like, we all think about our kids and we want this place to be better than it is now. But like, it was also said in the 70s, this was the worst time in the history of the world. And so he's in control. He's leading us and he's coming back at some point. So, yeah. which is comforting as well. Finding Peace in the Political Storm by Dr. James Merritt. It will blow your mind. It will blow your mind and give you really good peace about how to handle these situations, how to handle, thinking about your country and the bad things that are going on and how you respond as a believer. I promise, it's a short book too, by the way. Like, even I can read it. So like, it's 30 pages.
You read it,
pages.
You didn't listen to it?
Correct. It's hard copy like that. So it's I promise you, it'll be worth a read.
Yeah. The other point that I made, so we basically, what happens to Daniel and his buddies is they pull them out of Jerusalem. They bring them back to the Babylonian Empire, and they select some of the sharpest, best looking, smartest young men that the king is going to train to work in his court, like to be one his officials. And so they pick, Daniel and his buddies. And I was thinking about like our sons, or you think about your college age son, they have their whole life ahead of them. And Daniel and his buddies may have done nothing wrong, but the point that I made was, sometimes God's people get caught in the backlash because maybe they didn't do anything wrong, but because they're living in the nation of Israel, they're suffering the consequences of living around a nation or people who aren't being obedient to God.
Well, and you compared it to a football team. I thought it was cool. Yeah. You said like a football team, sometimes you got to run, or a basketball team, when somebody messes up and somebody makes a mistake, you've got to all run and you've got to pay the consequences for your team. Well, that's the same thing, right?
I think people can. I remember when I was playing basketball in junior high, one or two guys were letting people drive the baseline and getting by on the baseline.
Yep. So we got to push him to the middle of the court, by the way. Can't let him drive baseline.
So one practice, we all had to take charges.
Oof.
Over and over and over. Because one or two guys weren't cutting off the baseline.
I bet that was fun.
And taking a charge. Yeah.
I bet that was really fun. A guy just barreling into you, landing on top of you.
Yeah,
it's really
on purpose.
Yeah. That's old school.
Yeah, that's old school. So, yeah, sometimes you... Or I gave the other example of, you're in class and you don't get recess because one or two kids are talking.
Those kids suck.
And recess is the best part of school.
I hate those kids. Yes, recess is by far the best part of school.
With that, so...
You can never lose recess.
Yeah, so anyway, it wasn't necessarily their fault, but they made the most of the situation. And I think the thing that really kind of the set the whole series up is that they chose to be different. And instead of eating from the king's table, instead of eating the unacceptable foods that were against their Jewish diet, you know, their religious
laws. What did they do, though? Tell them how that happened. How did they do that? How did they tell them they weren't going to do that?
So basically, Daniel makes a deal with whoever is in charge.
Well, and see, I think God gave him favor.
God gave him favor.
I think God gave him favor in a relationship in...
That's right. Yeah, with the chief of staff, I believe it was.
That was feeding all the people that were held.
So he basically said, hey, let test us out for 10 days. We're gonna drink water and eat vegetables. And then you compare us to the other people in the program who are eating from the king's table.
Drinking wine, eating food, all the good food.
Yeah, and so have you ever done the Daniel fast?
I have. I've done all kinds of fasts.
Okay.
So I've done no food, just water. I've done juice. I've done fruits. Yeah, I've done several.
You have a
things.
Juicer?
I had a juicer. I don't have one anymore. I just eat fruit now.
I mean, you're pretty much on a Daniel fast. You do eat meat, though.
Once a day at the most. I do, but I do eggs and egg whites and cottage cheese and like Greek yogurt. I don't do a lot of meat. I do meat maybe once a day.
Okay. Yeah, so Daniel and his buddies were healthier and more nourished than the others, and so basically, they chose to be different than the rest of the crowd, and they,
which is hard,
they stood out.
Dang right.
Yeah. So the point that I was trying to make in the message is we can choose to be different. We don't have to eat what everybody else is eating. We don't have to drink what everybody else is drinking. We don't have to smoke what everybody else is smoking. We don't have to.
But that's the easy way.
Do what everybody else. It's easy to go with the flow.
We don't have to parent like.
It's easy to fit in.
We can parent like everybody else's parent. We can give our kids what our kid everybody else is giving their kids, or we can be different and we can do it the way God wants us to do it. And when we do, God will honor it and God will bless it, just like He did with Daniel. He started to give him favor, and then what happens next? You tell me what happens next. I don't remember.
Well, I was going to ask you, what are some things that you and Lindsay do that are different than the rest of the world? Like how have you chosen to be different than
the rest of
the world?
I think we choose to parent very differently. Not that we don't trust our kids, but like we don't go a lot of different places. If we don't really know the parents, like we have to say no to things. That,
like if they want to spend the night go with a friend
We have that a good bit. Like but we're going to say no and we're going to be different because, you know, we've definitely talked the talk of we want to be different and we want to make sure that we know the people that our kids are spending the most time with. And we don't really know them. Like we can't say yes to certain things. Church is a priority. You know, we have church on Sunday morning. We have we have small group on Sunday afternoon, and we have church on Sunday night. So, you know, church is going to be important. It's going to be one of the places that we visit a lot and we go to. And, you know, we're going to, you know, as much as the kids will roll their eyes sometimes when, you know, we break out the Bible and start reading through the Bible and going things, like we're going to make sure that that's a priority. And we're going to treat people differently than people. I think that's a big deal in our house. Like, it doesn't really matter what somebody else does to us. It matters how we respond and how we talk to people and how we treat people and how we love on people and be different. And so I think we're going to try to sacrifice some of the short-term stuff now for the long-term stuff and the stuff that we really think is important. So I think those would be a few things.
Yeah, I think just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean it's best for you to do. Or just because something is now legal doesn't mean you should put it into your body. You know, the marijuana, the smoking pot, and drinking. And
well, and here's something that's interesting too with parents, and just food for thought and something to think about, because some people don't know how they want to handle certain situations. But like we have a bunch of people at the school that I know of that like they're okay with their kids drinking as long as it's in a controlled atmosphere. Well, it's illegal. Period.
And like, say this, people don't have any problem with their high school kids drinking.
Yeah, it's okay for some people's kids and to have people over and drink at their house as long as they're being quote unquote responsible, which is irresponsible to me, but like, that's what you'll hear. And you know, you're not 21. It's against the law. And so I think it's, you know, those are the kind of things that's like, it sounds strange. And I know for you, you're blown away and you're like, really, people would do that. But yeah, I mean, that's not as uncommon as you think. Like, I know they're going to do it. I want them to do it at my house. Well, that doesn't make any sense to me. I know they're going to have sex. I want them to have sex at my house. Like, I mean, I just don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, that doesn't, yeah. Those don't
put a condom on.
Yeah. Those don't correlate to me. And so, but it's 100% prevalent everywhere. Like I get it, but you know, we got to stand for those things that are important to us. And we can't just say, oh, because everybody else or some people choose to do it that way, that we're going to do it that way. I mean, have some convictions of things that are important to you and don't freaking give an inch. And that's what Daniel did. Like what, and here's what I think we want to stand for. We want to stand for, if it's important to God, it's got to be important to us. Like if God makes a big deal about it,
yeah,
it's got to be important to our lives. Like God makes a big deal about premarital sex. Like he talks about it in his Bible. God makes a big deal about being drunk. Like, and being drunk and what that leads to. And you've seen it in your life over and over again. Like, that's not something we're going to do. Like, what are those things that using your mouth, using the Lord's name in vain? Like, we can go through what does the Bible say that's important? Like, those are things that we want to implement in our lives, like consistently, no matter what anybody says over and over and over again. And it's going to be different. That's what your whole message is about. It's going to look different. It's going to feel different. And that's okay. And we might be weird.
Yeah.
It's like we are weird.
We don't have to watch what everybody else is watching. We don't have to listen to what everybody else is listening to. We don't have to step in what everybody else is stepping in. I tell you, one of the powerful parts of the message was the Todd Wolliver's testimony.
Oh, he was outstanding.
And his whole life has completely changed. And he's in my group. So he'll say, and I think he said it on the video, that he didn't do it right the first time around with his first group of kids. And one of the challenges right now is his son is in prison.
Yep.
And so he's adopted his son's five kids. And so now he's raising his grandkids as his kids. But it's almost like God has given him a second chance. Yep. And so this time around, instead of making sports the priority, because so many people know Todd. I don't know if
coached his kids.
We played in a celebrity basketball tournament that he put on at Walnut Grove High School one time.
And I coached his son, Eli.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he said this time around, you know, first time around, it was all about the sports. And this time around, he's really made Greystone his third place. He was baptized. He baptized his wife. His two of his teenage boys. Sons are have been baptized, and they're real involved with the church and youth group. And they go to Monroe campus, and so they have student ministry on Wednesday night at Monroe or Sunday night at Monroe. Then they go to Loganville on Wednesday night. So they're super
choosing to be different. Involved,
choosing to be different, and the whole fact that we're weird, that we are different. That people look at us, Peter says we're aliens and strangers. We're living in exile. Like we're just passing through. People ought to look at us and see something very different than the rest of the world. Like we ought to stand out.
Yeah.
We are a light in a dark world. He's pulled us out of the darkness and brought us into his wonderful light. And then in Philippians, it says we're citizens of heaven. And so the application questions I asked were, what changes do you need to make in your life? Where is God leading you to live differently than the rest of the world? Where do you need to take a stand for Jesus? And in what area of your life is God calling you to be faithful and obedient?
And those are things that you have to listen to and you have to put some work to. Like those are... Like you can hear these messages and this is something I think you do a great job of. And we've got to continue to do a good job on this podcast is what are my takeaways? Like, how do I take the next step in faith to become better? And it's got to be those small ones, but those are questions to ask yourself of what do I need to get rid of? You know, what's leading me down a path that I don't want to go down? What's leading my kids down a path? What do I want to change with my kids? You know, like, how do I want to make sure that my kids know that we're going to be like Daniel? And do I need to read the story to them? Like what are these things that are important? And what are those takeaways that I can say, okay, I saw Daniel. I saw him do it like this. I want to do it like this. What needs to change? How do I make that step today? Mm-hmm. Not tomorrow, today. Like what's one thing I can start to give up? What's one thing I can start to implement? What's something like, those are the things that we ask ourselves that help us to get to that next level and to grow.
Yeah, and so everyone listening to the podcast right now or watching on YouTube, while you heard us talking, God put something on your heart. God pointed something out to you. In church world, we call it divine unction. And it's the idea that when you hear a message, it's as if God is speaking directly to you. And it's fascinating whenever I preach a sermon, is everybody gets something different out of it.
Yeah.
Because God is speaking to your particular situation. And so whatever it is that God is leading you to do, whatever it is he's calling you to do, as Davey said, do it today. Like take action. Make the change. Make the difference.